It is 6:04 p.m. I will call the special meeting in regards to Confederate monuments to order. Welcome all, and it's good to see you this evening. We've got kind of scheduled from 6 to 8 tonight, and hopefully we'll get everybody's comments in to be able to do that. Let me just kind of give you a little bit of the lay of the land and tell you what we're doing. Public speaking on this issue is important. We've had public speakers on September 6th. The task force had public speakers at two of their events, and the Public Arts Committee and the Cultural Affairs Commission also have had public speakers. Furthermore, Wednesday, all of you are invited, and you could speak at open mic on this subject as well. The task force met, and on September 29th, the council was delivered a recommendation by the chair of the task force, and it is what we will be taking comments on this evening. If you have not read it, it's been public and it's been posted. I think people up at the top of the stairs have a copy of it. On Monday, the Quality of Life Committee listened to a presentation and took under consideration the task force recommendations, and they decided not to take any action because they wanted to listen to the public speakers before any final action from their committee was done. Next Wednesday, the City Council will have a briefing on this item, and that's why we're putting this public hearing in between those meetings, so we can take into consideration when we get that briefing. Tonight, we will be taking our speakers, and we will start. We've got a list. All Dallas citizens will go first, and then people that are not in the city of Dallas will be following, but everybody that registered will be on this list. I am going to give everybody 2 minutes to speak. We've had that process before when we did a public hearing of Fair Park, and it moved along, and we got a lot of great comments from that. To talk about the process, Ms. Johnson is going to read the names of 10 people at one time, and you will then come down, and those 10 people will stand. And I ask you to do is just go to the mic when the person in front of you is done. Give us your name and address, and then use your time and talk to us. Just so if you've never done this before, this is not a question and answer period. If some people want to ask us questions, that's not the purpose. We don't answer those questions at this time. And we won't be asking you questions. This is to us to hear the public speak. So last, I will ask everybody to stay on topic. The topic tonight is this recommendation from the task force committee. It is not for past actions. If past actions have something to do with this, please, that's not a problem, but make sure that you stay on topic because we've got a lot of people that want to speak, and I want to get them in this evening. With that, we have a quorum to start, and I'll ask Ms. Johnson to list the first 10 people.
Thank you. I'll cite the speaker guidelines first. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council shall be removed from the room. Your first 10 speakers will be Catherine McGovern, John Hemberger, Mike Ledger, Chris Carter, Oscar Lindquist, Gene Robinson, James Henderson, Brent Sontag, D. Genova, and D. Holly.
Okay, so those first 10, come on down. Let everybody come down first, so we won't bother. You can do it kind of like Southwest Airlines. You figure out. You don't have to be perfect about this. The other thing I would ask from an audience standpoint is...
Mr. Mayor, you're not on the record.
Excuse me. Thank you. The other thing that I would ask is many times what people say, other people get excited about, and so we start applauding. And what happens is we applaud about everything, and that takes a lot of time. So I'm not going to try to be rude about this, but I'm going to limit audience participation. I want to make sure we spend the time on the speakers and get their good content.
Mr. Mayor, could we take down the barricade so they could use those seats to
Please, that's
to
a great
up.
Idea, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. You can sit right there. In fact, you can take the other rows off. With that, we will...
Ms. McGovern, you may begin.
We'll begin with Ms. McGovern. Great to have you here.
Thank you. My name is Catherine Savers McGovern, 4364 Royal Ridge Drive, Dallas, Texas. And I want to start out by thanking all of the council members as well as the task force for the amount of time which has been afforded to the citizens of Dallas to consider and be heard on this issue. I recommend that the council adopt the recommendations. I think it is very important for the city to look forward. We know from our past history that the city honored people. We would not have ever honored Benedict Arnold. We would not have ever honored any traitor to the United States of America. Now, people of my age bracket know that in our books, our history books, that we were taught a very fairly inaccurate view of history. And that is true. But all of the statutes and names that we are talking about occurred at a time when the purpose was to intimidate our minority citizens. If we were to leave them up, we would be saying we honor these people who were traitors to the United States of America, who acted in support of continuing slavery. We may not want to admit it. I mean, I have ancestors who fought for the Confederacy. My father came from Michigan. They came after the war was over. So they were not involved. We all share the same history, but we are a village. We are a town. We are a community. And we have to recognize that we do not honor traitors. No matter what the justification was in the past, we cannot do it, we have to not do it, and we have to move forward, and I thank you for your time.
Next speaker.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is John Heimberger, 1627 Hollywood, a Dallas native. I hope that we can salvage some of Confederate monuments, statues, whatever, for educational purposes. This month I visited Washington, D.C. to learn genealogy from my 95-year-old aunt and visit the African American Museum. I found some great history. I have families that are Quakers that date back to England to the 1600s. If you know, that is called the Society of Friends. They were some of the first group to denounce slavery and work with the Underground Railroad. Interesting, in 1778, I found one of my Quaker relatives had two slaves. Even they needed time to evolve. Further down my tree, my great-great-great-grandfather in Tennessee was tortured by Union troops. He was not in the military, not Confederacy, They tied him to a chair to burn his feet. He had his wife to tell him where the money was. The problem is, if you label people, he's a Southerner. Grouping people together will never work. You're going to have problems. I'm an old white man with white hair. An African-American co-worker recently assumed I was a stereotypical conservative. She was very surprised when I told her that I helped get signatures for Obama in his first primary. After Ferguson, I had a young African-American woman come up to me as I was trying to get off the train. Get out of my way, white boy. If we don't come up with education and use these things, we're just going to be doomed to come in and make the same mistakes as always. I watched some of the task force proceedings. I saw some of the task force was recommending Beauregard and Stonewall Streets be renamed, even though the Cultural Affairs Group said these were not named after Confederacies. I hope that Lee Park, you can maybe utilize that statue, the pedestal, and put some education around it to help teach history.
Thank
you. If you ignore history, we can't. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Next speaker.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm Mike Leger. I reside at the Mayfair at Turtle Creek, a 24-story high-rise located at 3401 Lee Parkway. I currently serve as president of the Mayfair HOA, which includes 142 Lee Parkway residential addresses. What is now Oak Lawn Park is basically the front yard of the Mayfair. We're one of only three buildings that have a Lee Parkway address, and the Mayfair is the only one of these three buildings with residence addresses. Mayfair residents represent over 90% of the Lee Parkway addresses and 100% of the residential addresses. I've lived in Dallas for 33 years and have been a Mayfair resident for the past 12 years. I know most of the residents of the Mayfair and know them to be proud and loyal Dallasites, Texans, and Americans. We're sensitive to the issues that resulted in the council's decision to remove the monument, and although we wish there could have been more opportunity for dialogue and input for all stakeholders, I've moved on and now ready to deal with your deliberations on the street name. Simply put, I request the council's consideration to allow Lee Parkway name to remain. We hope the removal of the monument and renaming of the park has sufficiently removed the negative connotation some have associated with these, and the name Lee Parkway could remain. Others tonight will speak to some of the issues and costs to our residents associated with the street name change. Originally, there was consideration for changing several more streets with names tied to Confederate officers, but the list has been reduced to, I believe, five minor streets, apparently due to the expected cost. Streets like Lemon, Gaston, and Junius were also named after Confederate officers and are not now being considered for a name change, as I understand it. In my opinion, a decision to rename these minor streets only places a disproportionate burden on the residents of those streets, and in particular the Mayfair. This appears to me to be a token effort to address the issues raised without proper consideration to the impact.
Thank you.
Last evening, I attended a Dallas Holocaust Museum event.
Thank you. Thank you. 2 minutes
just
up.
Just five more seconds. Okay.
Thank you. We got a lot tonight.
Next speaker.
Thank you. My name's Chris Carter, and Mr. Caraway, I am from Dallas, Texas.
The other thing is, everybody should be speaking to me. That's kind of the rule we always do.
Mr. Mayor, I'm from Dallas, Texas.
Thank you.
And like many people in this city, I had been trying to figure out why this council refused to put this issue to a public referendum to the people of Dallas. I spent a lot of time down here in the last 7 weeks. I went to three task force meetings. I went to Fitzwater's hearing. I even went to both of Philip Kingston's corruption hearings, neither of which he chose to show up to. But we're going to discuss that more on November 7th.
Sir, this is a good example. Let's just do it for the whole group, right? He is now off topic, okay? And I'm having to stop him and get him back on topic. So stay on topic. Thank you.
Chairwoman Frances Waters stated that much thought and deliberation went into each recommendation of the task force. I was at three meetings. Nothing could be further from the truth. The task force was stacked with radicals, people who had no intention of any consensual agreement or compromise. They voted no on everything. People like Sarah Mercuria, who said Dallas mayors are all comparable to Adolf Hitler. Then you had Michael Waters, who sat here representing Mr. Kingston's district and said the historical heritage of Dallas, Texas is racial terrorism. Racial terrorism. Mayor Rawlings, this task force expects you to formally apologize for the historical heritage of racial terrorism. Are you going to do it? I certainly hope not. Mr. Rawlings, thank you. You have the authority to put this to a vote before this council.
Thank you.
To amend the Confederate Monument Resolution and put this to a public vote.
Thank you.
Sir, we are asking that you do so.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Next speaker.
Next speaker.
Next speaker. Mr. Lindquist. Okay, Mr. Lindquist is not here.
Gene Robinson.
Mr. Robinson.
That is I. Gene Robinson is my name, 3940 North Haven Road in Dallas, my address. My clock's not started yet. Oh, there we go. Okay. I'm here tonight to speak to the policy of racial division that these decisions have created. These decisions are clearly not meant for any other purpose than to divide the races of Dallas. I see that as the outcome. I read with astonishment not only the decision to remove the Lee monument, but also the further recommendations of the committee that say we need to erect monuments to people that have been lynched. We need to have signage, promoting the suffering of slavery in Fair Park. You know, I want to ask a question. I have here, not ask a question, I want to make a statement. I have here a picture on my phone that I took of a monument directly across the street of the Lee statue on Turtle Creek, directly across the street. This is a monument dedicated to the 80,000 black men that fought for the Confederacy during the Civil War. But this monument hasn't been removed. It's still there. The decisions of this city council and of this committee's recommendations are that certain groups are more equal than other groups. Your monuments are acceptable, even though they're monuments to the Nazi Confederacy, but white statues are not acceptable. This is the very definition of Bolshevism. When you divide one group from another group, you demonize one group, you elevate another group to a more equal status. This is an intolerable situation. I can tell you what's going to happen if you continue down this path. I won't even address the civil consequences. But your November 7th bond issue is going to get voted down. All these people out here are going to vote no as a slap in the face to get your attention. And after that, every member that supports it is going to be targeted next.
James Henderson.
Please. Come on.
Did you say James Henderson?
Yes.
Thank you. My name is James Henry Henderson, and I live at 10118 Maple Ridge Drive in Dallas, which is in an area known as Lake Highlands. I've lived in that area since 1971, and I lived here for 2 years in the 1960s. Dallas is a great city, and I found opportunity just about every place I looked, and I really appreciate. You know, of all the cities in America, Dallas is a great city. And I wish to thank the mayor for giving me the opportunity to express my views on the monuments located in Pioneer Park and in the cemetery. I am opposed to their removal. These monuments are in honor of Confederate veterans and soldiers who defended their homeland during the war between the states. The monuments are to soldiers and not to any one individual. Confederate soldiers were deemed veterans of the United States by an act of Congress in 1958. Pioneer Park is a beautiful area and reflects the history and heritage of Dallas. History is what it is. Since that terrible conflict, there's been many books written. Some say there's been a book a day written since that conflict. No one alive today can describe these events, so we must rely on the written word. There are different narratives. Removal of the monuments or graves will not change the past. I thank you for this opportunity to express my views.
Thank you.
Brent Sontag.
Yes, my name is Brent Sontag. I live at 3223 Lockmore Lane. While I understand the council made a quick decision on this and thought that they should understand, it has left a lot of divisions and deepened divisions that are there. When I went to a task force meeting in this chamber, that committee patted itself on the back for checking off and doing everything, but then they wrung their hands as to what are we going to do with those statues? And here we are today. Still, what are we going to do with the statues? Now, one thing I will say, I worry that if we put these statues in a museum or a university, they're going to be put away from the younger people, the generation that needs to know that these things happened, because they need to understand we are a product of our past. If we understand we're a product of our past, where we came from, what happened, I think it helps us to move forward, to be better people, to be a better community. We cannot deny our history, that Texas was a part of the Confederacy, that there was a civil war that 620,000 men died in. That's more than any other war, even World War II. That there was slavery. Slavery existed, and it was a brutal system that we can't even imagine today what it was like. That lynchings happened here in Dallas into the 20th century, here in downtown Dallas, and that there were actually bombings in Fair Park because black people were moving there looking for a better life. It's ridiculous that we should try to forget this. As Satyana wrote, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. I hope we keep these statues up and keep them open. My recommendation would be to put them in a park, put the historic context around them, get a consensus to work on that context so that people can see it and understand what our past has been so we can move better going forward.
Thank you.
B. Genova.
Hello, my name is D. Genova, and I'm a six-year resident at the Mayfair at Turtle Creek at 3401 Lee Parkway. I'm here tonight to challenge the logic being used to make decisions regarding Confederate symbols, most specifically changes to street names. An online Fox 4 News article dated September 22nd reported the task force had identified 17 streets with Confederate ties, yet the task force recommendation is to change only five because, quote, none of the streets are major thoroughfares, end quote, and, quote, the task force did not recommend changing those major streets, such as Lemon and Gaston, unquote. My research via Google Maps and DCAD reveals that for the five streets identified for change, all appear to be under five blocks long and impact approximately 300 residents and businesses. 170 of those appear to be residential, with 140 of those being located in one building at the Mayfair on Lee Parkway. Dallas has a population of around 1.3 million people and is growing. You may think that changing street names on five streets with less than 200 residents and 100 businesses is not a big ask of those on those five streets. This is where I feel the logic is flawed. Are you making any type of real progress toward a more unified society when you make a change that only impacts a small number of the Dallas population? Is there something else the city council could do to educate and unify its citizens, or is the city simply looking for a headline splash to make it appear you've done something significant when really you haven't done anything significant at all? For many people in the populace, this is going to be a headline, they're going to read it, and they're going to move on with their lives. For those 140 residents in one building and 300 other people impacted, we have to go through a lot of change to change passports, driver's license, bank statements, everything else. I grew up in Michigan, and I wasn't strongly educated in Civil War history, and I have no attachment to the Confederate tributes. But at the end of the deliberation, we'll respect what you do and hope you could have input on a street name change if it does change. Thank you for your time and leadership as mayor and members of the city council, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Dee Holly.
Yes, I'm very passionate about what I'm going to say, and I think it all does pertain to the matters at hand. My name is Dee Holly, and I also live at the Mayfair at Turtle Creek. The primary information that I feel like you guys have gotten is from Jennifer Scripps and Joyce King. Neither are historians. And as a result, it's gotten people all riled up. The historical accuracy has been desecrated, and to me, that's a travesty. I've asked this question before. How much money has been spent thus far on the Lee Park statue removal, including cranes, extra security, both on the ground and the air, storage, etc.? As taxpayers, we have the right to know the exact amounts and to view invoices, receipts, IOUs, credit card statements, etc., so I'd like to ask you to all be transparent with that. I've heard a couple of the council members say that the decision on the Lee Park statue has been made and it's done. Well, it can be undone, and it should go back to where it was meant to be. It was not an emergency to remove the statue, and it's not the council's job to govern based on feelings. This decision was hasty, shady, and undermined the majority of the citizens of Dallas. Regarding changing street names, I hope Mr. Mayor's listening. Regarding changing street names, first of all, I attended most of the task force meetings, and I feel like they overstepped their bounds. They were a very biased group, and Ms. Waters refused to listen to any ideas or even facts that did not go along with her agenda. Many of us that live at on Lee Parkway, changing the name of Lee Parkway serves absolutely no purpose other than for the property owners and taxpayers to incur a lot of unnecessary expense and headache changing financial information, passports, banks, driver's license, and the list goes on. There's no through traffic on Lee Parkway and no access to and from Lemon Avenue. You actually really have to know where you're going to even find it. And with all that said, I still do thank you guys for listening and having us here to be able to say to voice our opinions tonight.
Thank you.
Your next 10 speakers will be Jim Tavoris, Linda Parcell, Karen Pioni, R.D. Dignan, Robert Jansen, Bill Savera, Sue Ryder, William Maddox, Matt Smith, and Jason Cornelius.
Thank you. And while everybody's coming down, a couple things. I do want to, there's many members here of the Cultural Arts Commission, the Public Art Committee, and the Mayor's Task Force. And I want to say thank you to them for serving. The other thing I want to say is there was a little bit up here about we're going to start to argue or make a comment and shout out what they think about what someone's saying. And we're not going to have that, because if I hear that, we'll have somebody take you out. So, all right, Jim, you're up. Great to have you.
Thank you. My name is Jim Tamborius. I live in the Mayfair condominiums with my wife, Yumiko, on 3401 Lee Parkway. First, I just want to thank you for your service to the city. It's a great city. We love living here. We're relatively new to downtown, but we love it. Thank you to the council as well. Many of you guys have probably moved sometime or another in your life. I've moved a few times as well. It's not a fun process. It's disruptive. It's burdensome to your life, as you can probably recall. It's not just little things like a utility bill. It's bigger things like the IRS. They always want to know where you live for some reason, right? And Social Security and everything else out there. It just runs a gamut. The key is, though, most moves we make in life are voluntary. We kind of pick and choose where we want to go. I just frankly feel like this one's going to be kind of thrust upon us if our street name is changed. Granted, we won't have a physical move, but we're going to have everything that goes along with it. It just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. Secondly, our street is small, if you've been there. It's tiny, actually. 10 feet across from our building, you'll see a sign for Arlington Hall. The address is 3333 Turtle Creek Boulevard. I mean, that's literally 10 feet. It's a confusing place. It's hard to get a taxi. It's hard to get an Uber. It's just our building and a couple businesses. This change is going to make it even worse just to try to operate around our building. And then just finally, if you really believe it's not going to be burdensome to us who live there and things like that, then I think you got to go ahead and change all the streets, right? Next street over to us is Lemon. I saw that in the paper. That one's not going to be changed. It just seems like we're being picked on here a little bit. And I just want you to really consider the ramifications of the actions you're probably going to take here, okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
Linda Parcell.
Linda Parcell, and I live at 3401 Lee Parkway. And I'd have to say that my opinion about the removal of monuments versus the street name changes are very, very different. I have no problem whatsoever with the removal of the Lee statue. In fact, honestly, I'd have to say I'm glad to see it gone. I feel differently about the street name change. I feel that with these street signs and the street names, there's not a shiny bronze or a polished marble or glorifying letters describing the individual from which the street is named. I feel that the name has been there for a long, long time, as in many of our streets, and that even if the name is changed, thousands and thousands of our residents are going to continue to refer to it by its old name. I think that the hardships that will be placed on the people who actually live there to change the name creates a lot of bad feeling. And the truth of the matter is I don't think it really makes a lot of the people who were in favor of the monument being moved feel any better to have the street names changed. I have talked to a few friends that I have who are African-American and very much in support of the monuments being moved, and I asked for their opinion of how they felt about the street name change because I wanted to know. It affects me personally, but it didn't affect them personally, so I wanted to know what they thought. And I had the same kind of feedback from them that the name change of the streets is not as important as the monuments, which glorify something that they think feel is offensive, matters more. So I would like the committee to really consider the differences between monuments and streets when it comes to their removal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Karen Pieroni. Good evening. My name is Karen Pieroni. I reside at 2927 Renaissance Circle in Dallas, Texas. I come before you tonight as a proponent of doing what is necessary to keep the Confederate monuments not only in the city of Dallas, but in its place in Pioneer Park. I am a longtime member of the UDC chapter that erected this monument in 1896 in Old City Park. Only because of the modernization of roads was the monument moved to Pioneer Park in 1962. The chapter, chartered in 1895, was founded by Katie Cabell, the daughter of Brigadier General William L. Cabell, whose prominent likeness is centered on the monument facing south. I am incredibly disheartened at the thought of the memorial to all Confederate ancestors being removed or put into storage, as it represents not only the history of my Southern heritage, but those of others, and is a perpetual memorial to those who never returned home. For some history on the monument. The enlisted Confederate soldier at the top of the monument was fashioned after the image of no less than Captain W.H. Gaston. Additionally, the men honored on the four corners, Generals Lee, Jackson, Johnston, and President Davis, not only served the Confederacy, but all were West Point graduates, going on to serve not only the state of Texas, but the United States of America in wars well before April of 1861. I request that and they were not traitors. I request that the monument restored and rededicated just 20 years ago in conjunction with the Office of Cultural Affairs Adopt a Monument Project remain in its current location and would be happy and honored to assist the City of Dallas, the city I call home, with creating the historical context to allow it to remain. However, if the decision is made to remove the monument, I most adamantly request that myself or other Dallas 6 chapter members be included in that discussion, as while I may not hold a financial interest in the monument, I do hold an emotional tie to it. In closing, thank you very much.
Thank you.
R.D. Dignan.
My name is R.D. Dignan. I live at 1433 San Rafael Drive in Dallas, in District Number 5. I'm not privy to the recommendations of the task force, so some of the things I'm going to say are just thoughts of my own. I did pull up, I want to specifically address two areas. One is a publication from the Huffington Post, where it's an amalgamation of several polls that have been taken throughout the United States. And the headline of this publication, which came out in late August, says that polls find little support for Confederate statue removal. The polls are pretty interesting. The most interesting one to me was the National Public Radio public broadcasting system poll, and it was interesting because 60% of the respondents to that poll were millennials. They were age 18 to 29. And even when you factor in the other 40%, 62% of the respondents to that poll thought that Confederate monuments should remain as they are. The next poll was a Reuters poll, which contained over 2,100 respondents, and it was evenly split along party lines. And 54% in that poll thought that Confederate monuments and memorials should remain as they are. There's a couple other polls that I don't have time to go into. But it clearly, it seems the tenor of these polls is that most people think that Confederate monuments should stay as they are. The last poll, if I've got just a few seconds, has to do with two senators from South Carolina who have come together. One's a white Republican, the other's a black Democrat, and they have proposed erecting a monument on the state grounds there in South Carolina commemorating a black Civil War hero named Robert Small. So my message would be, surely if South Carolina can come to some common ground and some positive recommendations, certainly the governing body of Dallas can do the same.
Thank you.
Robert
Thank
Jensen.
You.
Not present. Bill Severa?
Close enough, Severa.
Sorry.
Hi, Bill.
Good evening. I'm Bill Severa. I live at 3401 Lee Parkway in Dallas, a unit number 908. I come here tonight actually in hopes of seeing an outbreak of common sense. Changing the name of Lee Parkway has nothing to do with the statue, which has already been removed. It has nothing to do with the memorial. Lee Parkway is not a memorial. It's not a monument. It's a street. It's our street, and it's been our street for 17 years. Lee Parkway is only two blocks long from Lemon Avenue to Hall Street, and one block of that between Lemon and Rawlins is taken up by the Mayfair. I want to repeat that. This street is two blocks long. One block is taken up by the Mayfair. There's no through traffic. That one block is our front yard, and it's simply a parking lot. Changing the name of Lee Parkway will not fix potholes. It won't create economic development. It won't improve the quality of life in Dallas. It won't generate more tourism. It won't improve police and fire protection, nor provide more funds for salaries for our police and firemen. Changing the name, though, will, however, cause totally unnecessary expense and work for 143 property owners and their families. The question remains, who benefits? I think it is plain here, nobody benefits. What is the point of all this? Please come down on the side of logic and common sense and vote against this meaningless and unnecessary change in our street name. Do your due diligence and scrub this crazy idea. And if you'd like a free tour of Lee Parkway any day, just call me. I'll give you a free cup of coffee and take it. You won't get your 10,000 steps in because it's too short, but at least maybe you'll see it for the first time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Sue Ryder.
Hi, I'm Sue Kreider. I live at 3401 Lee Parkway. I've lived there since January of this year, and for the 12 years previous to that, I lived at 3225 Turtle Creek, the Renaissance on Turtle Creek. So I moved across the park to the Mayfair. I'm also a realtor, and I've been selling in that area for 14 years. And when owners buy, as we all know, it's location, location, location. The owners of the Mayfair bought into a beautiful location overlooking one of Dallas's most beautiful parks. They have a contract. The Lee Park Conservancy has a contract with the city to maintain and enhance that park. We walk through that park on a daily basis. We enjoy people from all races, ethnicities, ages, walking the park, walking their dogs, having their family photos taken, with the exception of the few weeks this summer when the statue controversy was occurring. And we do thank you, Mayor Rawlings, for keeping it safe during that time. I really would like to not have a two-block street renamed. It just, for real estate purposes, for individual purposes, it doesn't make sense. However, if the task force and you feel that this is truly going to resolve the issues that we face, I'm going to support it, but I ask that you seek active input from the Mayfair residents and the commercial residents on that street and what the new name will be. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sue.
William Maddox, not present. Max Smith.
Max Smith, 3938 Vinecrest, Dallas, Texas. I have some bones to pick about the hasty removal of the statue of Robert E. Lee. First, the statue was a beautiful and historic work of art. It was a shame to remove it. If anyone else had done it, you would be putting them in jail. Second is why. There was no great public outcry to remove the statue. The mayor's task force held public hearings, and those opposed to the removal of the statue outnumbered those in favor by 6-1. But you disregarded those comments and removed it anyway. Why? The task force report is long on recommendation, but short on justifications. It was instigated by people who have nothing better to do than nurse the grievances over something that ended 150 years ago. It is abetted by the media that loves to stir up a conflict so they can report on it, and by politicians who've advanced their career by dividing us on racial lines. Third was the obscene cost of it. I read that the city paid $600,000 to remove that statue. There's much more to come if the recommendations of the task force are followed. Coincidentally, I read that the city's bond rating has been lowered again. Perhaps your priorities and your financial responsibility are in question. Last, I see that one of the recommendations of the task force is that the city of Dallas publicly acknowledge and apologize for the policies and practices of the city that have furthered institutional racism and segregation. Well, I do not believe in apologizing for the action of others in the distant past. But if you feel a need to apologize, you can apologize for the institutional racism that exists in the city of Dallas today. On your watch. And I am referring to what you euphemistically call equal opportunity and affirmative action. For the last 40 years, the city of Dallas has discriminated against whites in general and white males in particular in employment and business opportunities. People that have done nothing wrong, people who might be rich or might be poor, they might be advantaged, they might be disadvantaged. All that matters is the color of their skin. You tell yourself we have to make up for the wrongs of the past. Maybe, but reverse discrimination is not the way to do it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jason Cornelius. Not present. Your next 10 speakers will be Deborah Cook, Buddy Apple, John Dupree, Cynthia Mulcahy, Chandler Vaughn, Sam Hawker, Corey Murchison, Peter Brodsky, Diane Benjamin, and Maggie Powell.
Ms. Cook?
My name is Deborah Cook. I am a generational Dallasite. I come here with a heavy heart tonight. I lived on Turtle Creek for 20 years. I walked my dog in Lee Park, rain, sleet, and snow, three times a day, and I never incurred anyone who ever complained about the statue or the name of that park. Removing statues, changing the names of schools, parks, and streets are further dividing this city, not to mention the cost that we as taxpayers are paying for this. I wonder how many of you are native Dallasites or native Texans. And do you really know our history? Dallas is the South, and you cannot change our history. I'm ashamed of the leadership of my birthplace city, and I don't like the direction that Dallas is going. Please leave our history of Dallas alone.
Buddy Apple.
Evening, Buddy Apple, 821 North Windermere. I was honored to serve on the task force, and I support our work and actually support many of our recommendations. I want to speak tonight, though, concerning the Confederate Monument and Pioneer Cemetery. For the following reasons, I believe it should remain in Pioneer Cemetery with the addition of context as called for by the task force. First, the monument is part of Pioneer Cemetery, which is a City of Dallas landmark. In law, we might say this creates a rebuttable presumption that the site is worthy of protection and preservation. This means the city should carefully and critically consider any request to alter or change this landmark. Second, to quote the city's first preservation plan from 1976, the purpose of city landmarks is to promote understanding of who we are and what we are. Notably, it does not say we should only preserve happy history, such as beautiful historic homes. Dallas has a proven legacy of preserving places with a dark or complicated history. Dealey Plaza and the Sixth Floor Museum are excellent examples of this. Third, the monument is in a cemetery, a place of repose and reflection. There is at least some evidence that this 1896 monument was intended to serve only as a memorial to Dallas citizens who served in the Civil War, of which approximately 40 are buried in Pioneer Cemetery. With the addition of proper context, we can ensure that the monument remains for that purpose without also being interpreted as a shrine to the causes of the war, to include the preservation of slavery. Finally, in the event you vote to relocate the monument, I suggest the council amend the task force recommendation to include the possibility of relocating it to a different cemetery. The Lee Equestrian Statue is highly regarded for its artistic value, and I believe the Office of Cultural Affairs will find success in relocating it to a museum or educational site. However, staff has noted, and I agree, that the Confederate monument will prove more difficult in that regard due to its physical height. For that reason, I would suggest amending that recommendation with regard to the monument to possibly allow the staff to consider relocation to a historic cemetery. Thank you.
John Dupree.
Thank you, Mr. Apple. And thank you for serving, by the way.
When the city of Dallas ordered the removal of the statue of General Robert E. Lee, I'm John Dupree from Northwest Dallas, Alistair Street, a duplex subdivision. Not enough attention was given to his aide, identified on a plaque next to the monument, talking about the aide. Although Lee can't be found today on the revered grounds of his scaled-down Arlington, Virginia home above Turtle Creek, his aide skillfully eluded the grip of the motor crane that afternoon. The aide is dedicated, well-trained, a patriot, but he's in distress. In fact, the general was there that Saturday midday as a wreath was laid on the general's empty pedestal. He was in the U.S. courthouse to halt his commanding officer's removal. He stood right beside Lee's great-grandson, who offered to buy his great-grandfather's resemblance from the city. The aide called out for reinforcements, and the Texas Freedom Force answered. He was on the conservative response team's phone mic, urging Dallasites to call their city leaders. Look closely into the face of the aide, depicted in the monument, eyes wide open, alert to his circumstance. One leg stretched in the stirrup, ready to dismount when needed. In contrast, his general's head is slightly tilted, eyes straight ahead, galloping with hat in hand. They were on their way to safeguard their four Confederate states of America countrymen from disfigurement by their city government. First, Lee was told that he had 90 days to convince the city to reconsider their initiative. However, just 6 days later, he was ambushed, 13-1. I asked the statue and renaming committee, along with the council, to join in with this young lad depicted in the Lee monument to preserve such southern treasures.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Cynthia Mulcahy. Not present. Chandler Vaughn.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council. I'm Chandler Vaughn, 2901 Turtle Creek, Dallas. I'm here as the executor. I was the executor for Juanita Craft, and am here representing the foundation. Mrs. Craft was one of the most important leaders in the freedom movements of the 20th century. In addition, she held Place 7, Councilman Felder's seat. Two things she said to me and others in her final months of her life When she worked at the Adolphus Hotel, she met Eleanor Roosevelt, and Mrs. Kraft was always incensed that they sold postcards of the Allen Brooks lynching in the gift shop. And so she got Eleanor Roosevelt, and they walked down the street to see the site, and through Eleanor Roosevelt then had the gift shop take that item out. In addition, one night we went to a picnic at Lee Park, and I asked Mrs. Kraft, what did you think of the Lee statue? And her quote was to me, once enough time passes and society matures, they will take these statues down. How public memory is expressed in public space is extraordinarily powerful. Jennifer Scripps recently said something very important, that the task force recommendations are rooted in a statement issued by the American Historical Association, in which they said that to remove such monuments is neither to change history nor erase it. This being so, the task force has done superb work in ferreting through a dense thicket of historical, emotional, and cultural considerations at arriving at their recommendations. The recommendations are sensible, sophisticated, in keeping with Mayor Rollins' instructions and befitting a modern Dallas. I would like to end with a quote from Winnie the Kraft. Time gave me a gift, an understanding that it was my obligation to liberate the hearts of both the hater and the hated. So I threw myself completely into that battle. It became my home. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sam Hawker.
I'm Sam Hawker at 6154 Yorkshire Drive, Dallas, Texas. My remarks today are regarding the name change of Gonneau Street. The street is named after Reverend Richard M. Gonneau. He served in the Confederate Army for 3.5 years, and then for the next 45 years as a Dallas minister baptizing over 1,000 people. In 1973, his descendants, at their own expense, relocated his dog trot cabin to Dallas Heritage Village, where it is now a living history centerpiece for mid-19th century life. The street name is a commemorative to a lifelong Christian leader, and its removal is a slap in the face of his legacy and his descendants, who have unselfishly given so much to the city of Dallas. This is one of many narratives that demonstrates how hasty and incomplete the research of the task force was. Gonneau's long Christian ministry never was mentioned in the briefings. I suggest further study into the life of Richard Gonneau.
Thank you.
Coy Murchison. Coy Murchison.
Good evening. Coy Murchison, 4600 block of Weehaven Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75232, District 4. I, too, had the pleasure and the privilege of serving on your task force. I have listened sitting there at this horseshoe, and I've listened in the chamber. And it seems to me that there's a bit of misnomer that the offensiveness of these statues has since gone away. I am the granddaughter of the great B.B. Lipscomb, who graduated from Iowa State University in 1933. And by 1936, he was the only black man in the state of Texas to own a TV and radio repair store in this city, in which white men stood in his store in need of his services and called him boy. And not so long ago, yesterday, in fact, I have a sorority sister of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated who was called a cute little N-word gal very affectionately by a white woman that wasn't very old. So the sentimentality that exists in this city that would erect a statue of Robert E. Lee in 1936 is very real for some people. But you, Mr. Mayor, had the opportunity to do something that no other city in the United States has done. You have an opportunity to do something meritorious. You have an opportunity to accept the task force recommendations and to frame and contextualize the statutes in earnest and in truth. You have an opportunity before you right now that you can seize this moment and state publicly and state Dallas public policy is to right the wrongs that have existed. We cannot ignore this is the springboard of the Klan. We cannot ignore that many people were hurt. And to have an honorarium, these statues, these street names, is tantamount to holding an honorarium, the whipping board and the lynching tree and the breeding table. You have an opportunity to seize this moment in a way that no one else has. Thank you.
Thank you.
Peter Brodsky.
Good evening. Peter Brodsky, District 13. I'm here to strongly support the recommendations of the Commission on Confederate Monuments. You know, we have to remember the history. We have to learn from it, or it repeats itself. But monuments to the Confederacy are not remembering, they are honoring. And as a country, we have never really dealt with our legacy of slavery. We have never dealt with the fact, at least in the South, that the Confederacy was a nation that was formed in order to perpetuate that system, and that was the cause of the Civil War. So when we erect a statue to Robert E. Lee, we are saying that he held values that we hold, and that is offensive. In addition, it makes a very high percentage of our citizenship feel slighted and feel a loss of dignity. I know as a Jew, if there were a statue of Adolf Hitler, somebody who brutalized and oppressed members of his own country, I would feel disrespected, I would feel discounted. And that, I imagine, is the feeling that African Americans have when they go to a luncheon at Lee Park and see a statue of Robert E. Lee, and they see that our city, their home, everyone's home, has chosen to honor somebody who wanted to enslave their ancestors and fought brutally to enslave their ancestors. If you compare how we've dealt with the Civil War to how Germany dealt with the Holocaust, it is a striking difference. Germany does not have statues honoring Hitler, but they do have gold memorials, bricks in the street, that memorialize every apartment where Jews were taken and sent to the camps. And they raise them up so that you trip over them so that we never forget. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Blackson.
Diane Benjamin.
I'm Diane Benjamin. I'm a former commissioner for Environment and Health for the City of Dallas and also Seniors Affairs Commissioner. Honorable Mayor, City Council people, and friends, and I say friends because we all have a vested and share an interest in our wonderful city. I come here before you because, Mayor, just a few days ago, you participated in the dedication of the Holocaust Museum. You also mentioned how important history is. We share that concern. I recall how in the 60s, we had a very popular movie called Roots. It further emphasized how important it is for all people to have their history, for our American slaves were deprived of their history, and when people are deprived of their history, sadly, it has been proven they take on the negative characteristics of their environment. Not having people's roots, not knowing their family and their heritage is dangerous. Good, bad, or ugly, we must preserve our history of the United States, or otherwise we are playing in the hands of ISIS, who, like Hitler, wanted not just to destroy people, but our history, our reason for being. It is important that we teach our children how horrible denying history is. My tradition does not worship idols. We don't destroy history, and we do not destroy monuments. Better we build spiritual bridges and try to make our country inclusive. Better we should build monuments like for George Washington Carver or Booker T. Washington. or those who made our country great. We deplore slavery. As a Jew and a relative of Judah P. Benjamin, who was a Confederate Secretary of State, he, like all Jews, remember at Passover time when we were slaves unto Pharaoh.
Thank you, Ms. Benjamin. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Maggie Powell.
Thank you.
My name is Margie Powell. I live at 7460 East Northwest Highway. Confederate monuments have to come down. It doesn't matter how much it costs. There isn't time to wait on a vote or budget for the removals in the future. The time for the debate ended on August 12th. On August 11th, white supremacists used the Confederate statue in Charlottesville as a rallying point to march with torches while carrying Confederate flags, wearing swastikas, giving Nazi salutes, and shouting Heil Trump. The next day, they held a rally where a woman was killed and several others were injured when a white supremacist drove his car through a group of peaceful counter-protesters. It was a horrific incident, but that isn't the impetus for the urgency behind the removal. The reaction to the incident is the driving force behind the urgency. Trump wouldn't condemn these hate groups who were wearing swastikas and shouting his name while giving Nazi salutes. He said there were good people on both sides. The hate groups also wouldn't condemn the attack. They vilified victims, blamed police, and circulated memes that joked about running over protesters. If the driver didn't represent their views, they could have stated that and said they were sorry the victim died, but they didn't. The nation saw Trump call white supremacists good people. We saw the insincerity of his condemnation of neo-Nazis and his unbridled passion when he spoke in defense of them. We saw torches, swastikas, guns, hate-filled chants, and Nazi salutes all centered around a Confederate monument. After Charlottesville, monuments around the nation began coming down. Without Charlottesville, maybe there would be more time for debate, but since Charlottesville happened, the statues have to come down, need to come down fast. White supremacists need to see cities around the country stand up and show them they are in the minority. We have to send a clear message to white supremacists since we don't have a president who will. The Charlottesville event confirmed what many of us have known for a long time. Preserving these monuments is about preserving white supremacy, not history. I'm from Dallas. My family's from Dallas. I have roots here, and I don't think we need the monuments here. There's a lot of white supremacist history in Dallas, and I think we really need to stand up and take a stand and show them that that's not okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next ten speakers will be Soraya Colley, David Preziosi.
Oh, hold on. Your name?
Soraya Colley.
Okay, good. Sorry.
Soraya Colley, David Preziosi, Elaine Everett, Matthew Jacobs, Henry Tatum, Robert Wagnon, Jane Manning, Caroline Austin, Jacques Broom III, Nan Coulter. Ms. Colley, you may begin.
Thank you. Mayor, my name is Soraya Colley. I was born and raised in Dallas, and I currently live in District 5, Pleasant Grove. I want to commend you for your decision to remove the Lee statue last month, and I urge you all to continue to follow the task force recommendations to remove other ugly symbols of division. They do not honor or teach, only insult and demoralize. Indeed, this was the reason they were erected, and they continue to serve that purpose. These monuments do have a place in society, in museums, in context with the stories of the human beings they fought to enslave and the country they tried to divide. Where they do not belong is a setting like an idyllic public park representing a progressive, diverse city. Those who wish to keep these monuments up would like you to believe they vastly outnumber those who want to see them removed. That is simply not true. I urge you to remember that those who aren't speaking up are those who have been historically silenced by centuries of racism, oppression, and fear. This culture of silence behooves you all to speak for them so as to empower them. I leave you with these words. As regards to the erection of such a monument as is contemplated, my conviction is that however grateful it would be to the present condition of the country, would have the effect of retarding instead of accelerating accomplishment and of continuing, if not adding to, the difficulties under which the Southern people labor. I think it wiser not to keep open the sores of war, but to follow the examples of nations who endeavor to obliterate the marks of civil strife and to commit to oblivion the feelings engendered. That was Robert E. Lee.
Thank you.
David Preziosi.
David Preziosi, 2229 Lawndale Drive, and I'm here representing Preservation Dallas tonight. Thank you, Mayor and City Council, for the opportunity to speak and for putting together this Confederate Monuments Task Force that did a wonderful job in bringing people together to talk about this issue. One of the recommendations is to remove the Confederate Monument in Pioneer Cemetery, originally erected in Old City Park in 1896. It was moved to its current location in 1961. Pioneer Cemetery is designated a City of Dallas landmark, and thus falls under the review of the Landmark Commission as well. Due to the monument's sheer size and difficulty of accessing it with equipment, the removal will require deconstructing it piece by piece. If the monument is to be relocated, we would recommend that the monument remain in place until such time as a suitable location can be found for its relocation. This will ensure that the monument will not have to be moved twice, and lessen the chances that it would be damaged in the process. In the meantime, information should be developed and displayed through signage explaining the monument's history. It can then serve as an educational tool for people to learn about why it's there, the figures it depicts, the Jim Crow era in which it was erected, and the mythology associated with it. We'd also like to comment on the recommendation about Fair Park. We wholeheartedly agree with the task force recommendation to not remove the Confederate imagery at Fair Park, which is a National Historic Landmark, a State Antiquities Landmark, and a City of Dallas Landmark District as well. We agree that the imagery at Fair Park is different than the other two monuments in Dallas. It is allegorical in nature and does not glorify or commemorate the Confederacy, but represents it as a part of Texas history and the six governments which Texas has been under. We are supportive of adding additional explanation to the Confederate imagery at Fair Park in order to better explain the reasons they are there for people that may not be as familiar with the history of Texas. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Elaine Everett.
Mayor Rawlins and City Council, you have made a mockery of the term inclusive. This task force was appointed as your rubber stamp to promote your own bias and political aspirations and agendas. If the conversations were supposed to be between the citizens, we were not included. We weren't able to ask questions. We were only given 1 minute to speak. You, Mr. Mayor, and the City Council are transforming these statues into a symbol of your own tyranny by denying the citizens of Dallas the right to vote. What we celebrate today can be called into question tomorrow. Some chapters of history are very disgusting. Public art, much like textbooks, tells stories and educates people. With the right programs, it may even begin to promote understanding and healing. If you begin destroying artworks, where does this end? If we destroy or otherwise obliterate every racist artwork, if we don't address the idea behind it, those artworks, we will never, ever be able to move forward in this city. I would ask that because over 60% of the citizens of Dallas do not want these statues removed, by denying the citizens the right to vote, cannot be, on this major issue, cannot be considered inclusive. I implore you to put this on a referendum and give the citizens of Dallas the right to make the decision on how their city should move forward.
Matthew Jacobs.
Hello, my name is Matthew Jacobs. I live at 3615 Brown Street, near Lee Park in Dallas, Texas, District 14. Removing monuments does nothing to change history. Instead, it erases evidence of our past and teaches people an accurate history. Because in this case, when you declare Confederate objects unfit for public display, you teach people the Confederacy was so evil it cannot be shown. They learn nothing about what really happened, keeping any healing from happening, which requires understanding of what occurred. Being a museum doesn't overcome that, nor does it do anything to help the majority African-American neighborhoods, which some of you represent, that still suffer from the legacies of racism and segregation and the past actions of Dallas that many have brought up and still are ashamed of. This has gotten so out of hand that the city spent $500,000 to hastily remove the statue of Robert E. Lee, a man who actually worked for reconciliation following the war, while other city jewels, like the Hall of State and Fair Park, languished from neglect,
water pouring through the ceiling. Instead, we are now debating destroying a memorial honoring soldiers in Pioneer Cemetery. That monument, whose dedication was attended by both Union and Confederate veterans, honors those who fought in defense of our state, including men who died for the very ground beneath us. Removing their memorial would be a total disgrace to their memory and a slap in the face to veterans everywhere, as you have declared their memory unfit for public display. Please find a solution that appeases all groups on this issue, one that accurately reflects our history rather than erasing or distorting it. Protect the memorial in Pioneer Park in its place to honor veterans and actually address problems in our city that this has all brought up. The Civil War was complicated then. It's still complicated now. We can't hope to go back and change things, but we can only push for real change that will help the city.
Henry Tatum.
Thank you. Mayor Rollins, member of the City Council. I'm Henry Tatum. I live at 4858 Forest Bend Road. Know some of you, and good to see you tonight. I wanted to come here tonight because I've lived in the Dallas area and in Dallas all my life, and I've seen many things, many changes, and I've seen some of them very close up. More than 55 years ago, my father, an African-American civic leader, Amacio Smith, led the peaceful desegregation of public accommodations in Dallas. They did it by holding hundreds of meetings throughout the city of businesses. They knew what a challenge this was going to be, and they knew that they had to have the public involved and they had to have the public accept in order to avoid what was happening in the South at that time. It worked. They were able to pull it off. I tell you that story because I don't feel like this has been handled in the same way. Obviously, it's not quite to the level of desegregation of public accommodations, but it's still a very important issue. And when it first came to light, Mayor Rollins was planning to give a 90-day period for the task force to make recommendations. He didn't specify what they would be. A short time later, it became that the task force was going to move quickly, and the recommendations were going to be how the statues were going to be removed. I think from that day forward, the public felt like they had been shortchanged. I joined a group called the Dallas Citizens for Unity and Reconciliation that simply wanted to slow the train down a little bit. And that's what we attempted to do. We took a survey that showed 57% of Dallas was opposed to the removal of the statues at this time. Survey after survey tended to prove the same thing. Channel 5 did one that showed 80%. The number of speakers here have outnumbered by 3-1. I think the message is fairly clear. They wanted more time from you, and they wanted for you to make a decision that involved more of the public in it. I hope you'll consider that and take more time on this. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Tatum.
Robert Wagman.
My name is Robert Wagman. I live at 4061 Travis Street, Dallas, Texas. I live in District 14. I am opposed to the removal of Robert E. Lee's statue and propose that it be returned to its original location. Your rush to remove the statue has only created turmoil and more discord. Much attention has been focused on the tragic period of slavery in the U.S. and the lingering attitudes in Dallas in the 1930s, rather than on more recent history. For 81 years, the Lee statue just stood there, not opposing, stopping, interfering with the advancement and equality of the citizens of Dallas or the United States. During this time, armed forces were integrated, public schools were integrated, Civil Rights Act of 1964 were passed, affirmative action goals, government minority hiring policies have become accepted practices, and we elected Barack Obama as our President of the United States. We must continue to work on equality. However, it is not the absence of statuary, but the actions of people that will improve our lives. I request the council should take such action to develop a compromise plan to address the concerns of all. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jane Manning.
I'm Jane Manning. I live at 3621 Turtle Creek Boulevard. I'm a member of a group called Dallas Citizens for Unity and Reconciliation. We're a bipartisan group looking for a reasonable solution to resolve this polarizing issue of taking Lee down. A compromise plan for your consideration could include putting Lee back at the corner of Turtle Creek Boulevard and Hall, commission an African American monument to go on the corner of Turtle Creek Boulevard and Lemon Avenue, commission a Latino monument to go in the park, change the name to Monument Park, add educational components, which include text panels, self-guided tours, field trips for school kids, and completing the Freedom Trail from Lee Park to Freedman Cemetery to Griggs Park. Lee Park, or maybe now Monument Park, has 14 acres and would be the perfect place. The grounds are magnificent. It's already managed by a nonprofit. However, if this location is not acceptable, take this concept to another significant location in Dallas and redesign that space to become a spectacular destination for Dallasites and visitors to our city. Let's keep our history, tell the different stories of our community groups, create something new for Dallas to be proud of, and stop fighting.
Thank you.
Caroline Austin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and the council. I appreciate the opportunity to speak before you. My name is Caroline Austin. I live at 5121 Kelsey Road in Dallas. I've lived in Dallas now for 15 years. I got here as soon as I could. I grew up in Pennsylvania, was raised and grew up there. I had seven family members in my family who fought on behalf of the North. Some of them died. My family, I proudly say, was part of the Underground Railroad, taking African Americans to freedom in Canada. I have no particular affinity for Confederate statues or heroes based on my family history. However, there is something that I do have a great affinity for, and that is art, history, and politics. Art can be uncomfortable, so can history, and so can politics. We are here trying to make judgment on people living 100 to 200 years ago with the lenses of 2017 eyes. They saw the world much differently than we do today, right or wrong, but that we cannot and should not try to change the history or erase it. Because you've heard this quote many, many times before, which is George Santayana's very famous quote, that those who cannot learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Stephen Hawking said of history, "Let's face it, it's mostly the history of stupidity." Well, I think he was right. But we still can't change it. We must learn from it. About art, Arthur Mart Haddon wrote, "Art should be uncomfortable." He was writing about Miles Davis' brilliant composition, which continues to thrill and alienate listeners today. Amy Harmon, who is an art critic, says, "Art forces viewers to confront what makes us uncomfortable. It can make us smarter and more empathetic citizens." Those supporting this art staying know the importance of citizens understanding what makes us uncomfortable.
Thank you.
Jacques Froome, the third.
Thank you, Mayor Rawlings. My name is Jacques Froome. I'm a resident of Dallas in District 13. I very much support the removal of all monuments that serve to oppress, to intimidate, and to glorify those who fought for the continuation of slavery. I appreciate City Council asking for input from Dallas residents, and I regret that members of this council have recently had to endure terribly inappropriate and threatening communications. It is a tremendous shame that there is ambiguity in 2017 about what it means to oppose the glorification of these monuments that were erected as a voice against integration and are redundant to textbooks and museums in preserving history. There are countless reasons, including economic, for removing these monuments. If we want to attract top companies to Dallas, we need to shed our symbols of oppression and build an environment of inclusion. However, the most important benefit for removing these monuments will be creating more broadly welcoming neighborhoods and city where adults and children will feel less cruelty. Please do the right thing and continue to remove monuments, including street names, to oppression and hatred. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Nan Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for asking for our input.
Nan, could you bring that down a little bit? Thanks.
Okay, is that okay?
That's good.
I'm a resident of Dallas County and live in District 13. I'm an artist and often give tours to friends and journalists and children from other cities and countries, most of whom are quite surprised when they see that we have a street named Congo Street. I am not saying we, of course, do not need to deny or forget the cruel and sad part of our city's history. We need not to honor it by placing it on public property. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coulter.
Your next 10 registered speakers will be William Murchison, Dale Brown, Sandra Crenshaw, Alden Nellis, Linda Leach Johnston, Beth Beasel, Jeff Scogan, Arthur Fleming, Carol Haynes. Bill Hutchinson has canceled, so Jerusha Royal.
You guys are doing great, by the way, moving through this, and there's a lot of good input, so thank you. You've got everybody here still.
William Murchison?
Please. Mr. Murchison.
Mr. Mayor, distinguished council members, I'm William Murchison, an old-time newspaper man around here, and I have got a scoop for you. The war's over. Pass it on. The Civil War is over. Robert E. Lee surrendered to U.S. Grant at Appomattox Courthouse. And there's nothing anybody can do about it to change things. Everyone in the world seems to know it, except here in Dallas, where whole levels of government work to keep the guns smoking and the body count high. We slander dead heroes, calling them oppressors, slavocrats, and tyrants. We turn statue removal into some sort of shining, shimmering moral crusade, whose odor, alas, is one of spite and vindication, and of an argument nobody wanted to have until it started in a mysterious way that nobody can quite account for, but which the community as an entirety got drawn into. Not an instance, I'm sorry to say, of enlightened local government. And why all this? It was to make Dallas a happier, more unified, more progressive city? Well, it's not working. Distinguished members of the council, we can do better. It's time for peace and healing and for an end to the local civil war that short-term thinkers have been promoting for reasons best known to themselves. For a change, let's shake off the past. Let's go forward. People of every color, the dead and the living, knowing that, yes, the war truly, finally is over. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you, Ms. Murchison.
Dale Brown. Dale Brown, not present. Sandra Crenshaw.
Mr. Brown wasn't present.
Dale Brown.
Okay.
Yeah, not present. Sandra Crenshaw. Not present. Alden Nellis.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, thank you all for serving your community. I'm Alden Nellis. I live in Cleburne, Texas. I serve as president of Cleburne Friends of the Cultural Arts. We own and operate J.N. Long Cultural Arts Complex, a 2.4-acre campus with five buildings containing 30,500 square feet under roof. I am here to request that you relocate the Robert E. Lee Monument to our campus. I consider this as a possible solution to your problem, making all this debate useless if you just bring it to us. The CFCA is a 501c3 nonprofit Texas organization. We're privately funded by donations and by income from rentals of some of our facilities. We get no city or any other government funds. It's all privately owned and operated. CFCA wants the monument because it is a beautiful historical work of art. Please send us Robert E. Lee. He will not be blocked in by skyscrapers. I think he will enjoy the fresh country air in Cleburne. Thank you.
Thank you.
Linda Leach Johnston.
Thank you, Mary Rollins and council members.
Thank you.
For an opportunity to come before you today and speak about the relocation.
Yeah, could you bring the mic down? It's right by your mouth. Thank you.
Is that better?
Yeah, much better.
Thank you for the opportunity to come here today and speak about the Robert E. Lee sculpture relocation. I am Linda Leach Johnston. I have lived in the city of Cleburne and owned our family business, Leach Brothers Barbecue and Linda's Patio, since 1950. The Cultural Arts Center located in the heart of Cleburne would be the right place and the setting for the Robert E. Lee sculpture. It is a beautiful work of art by the sculptor Alexander P. Proctor. This sculpture place on the grounds of the Art Center would have its place for all to enjoy. Mr. Alden Nellis, president of the Jan Long Cultural Arts Complex, would see that the sculpture would be displayed and maintained with great care. Please consider awarding the Robert E. Lee sculpture to the Cleburne Cultural Arts Center. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Beth Beazle.
That time just started a few seconds quick. Too soon. Beth Beazle, Southwestern Boulevard. Mark Twain said, it's easier to fool people than it is to convince them that they've been fooled. Mr. Mayor, what kind of society are you creating when you destroy its past? A weak, gutless society of whiners and cupcakes who can't handle the truth. What kind of government are you running when you make policy based on people's feelings and interpretations of their intentions? You have been played by politically convenient impulses, spent taxpayer money on social engineering, defined symbols of hate and racism according to your own code, not mine. You've claimed moral authority that the city charter does not give you. You've expunged an entire swath of history for the sake of someone's feelings. You've been duped by the non-historians on the Mayor's Task Force and Cultural Affairs Committee or office. Their interpretation of history is like saying 2 + 2 = 5. Facts are facts, but the conclusions you draw from the facts don't always equal truth. But in their case, they didn't even get the facts right. So, because of the recommendations of the task force now, there is no peace in our city, because removing a statue won't bring peace. You can't do your job as mayor and council members because your phones and emails are filled up with hate mail. A handful of you said you didn't care about this issue until someone else told you that this is your issue and that you will care about it. Well, you're all being used and manipulated by a political force that is much bigger than this statue, and it has no limiting principles to stop this nonsense. Finally, where are the improvements in your streets and transportation, facilities, storm and flood drainage, libraries, homeless housing? And oh wait, that's what's in the bond package you want your people to vote for in this election. Return the statue and restore the public trust in your government.
Thank you, Ms. Beazle.
Jeff Scogan.
My name is Jeff Scoggin. I live in the colony.
And the reason I came to speak to Mayor Rawlings and the council this evening is because this is an issue that impacts not just the people of the city of Dallas, but it also ripples through the entire region. I can understand the motivation for the task force and for its recommendations. I mean, we certainly would like to make Dallas a more inclusive city. I mean, who would not like to have a community free of strife along economic or racial lines? I mean, that's utopia. Unfortunately, the task force, in its haste, has failed any litmus test going in that direction. They've targeted some monuments, and yet they've overlooked others. And I guess I should point out also Dallas is known first and foremost as the site where a U.S. president was murdered. That's the first thing most people think of when they think of the city of Dallas. But anyway, Belo Mansion in downtown Dallas, which was not addressed by the task force, was built by Alfred Horatio Belo, who was a colonel in the Confederate States Army before coming to Dallas. John Neely Bryant, the founder of the city of Dallas, and whose cabin is a monument, served in the 18th Texas Cavalry of the Confederate States Army. And I could go on, but we're at the same time, the task force is leaving all monuments and references to R.L. Thornton, a past mayor who was a member of the Ku Klux Klan and was an avowed segregationist. The gist of all of this is that there's inconsistency in what we're doing here, and it's either let's leave it alone and add to it or wipe it all away, not take the low-hanging fruit here and there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Arthur Fleming.
Good evening. My name is Arthur Fleming, recent past president, NAACP Dallas. A couple years ago, I met with the Honorable Mayor, and we talked about this issue. And I was hoping that we could have done something a lot sooner. But mainly, first of all, I worry about, the NAACP's position is that we believe that all Confederate monuments and statues and symbols should be removed from places and space where taxpayer money is spent, what we're saying is that if you're going to insult me, at least don't make me pay for it. Okay? Now, what me and the mayor talked about was we talked about doing some community educational forums, and I'm hoping that that we can still do that. I would love for the NAACP and the city to partner where we can educate a lot of people. I agree with what a lot of the folks said. We don't see a method. We don't see education. We don't see the humanity. So what I'm saying is that here, with the mayor's blessing, hopefully we can, along with the NAACP, hold some forums around the city, educate people about what we're talking about. You know, it's not just we just want we're not saying get rid of history. What we want you to do is to help us put it in the book. Let's put history in the book. We don't have to, the statues are not the history. That's just one symbol. The damage, the miseducation of everybody is done in the schoolroom. That's where it's done. And that's where it's going to have to be undone. So I'm hoping that that the mayor will support me tonight and calling for us to do some forums, some education, so we can all understand what we're trying to do. And I agree with him. It is. It's just so uneven. So if you all could work that out, we sure would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carol Haynes. Carol Haynes.
I'm Carol Haynes. I live at 44 Indian Trail, Hickory Creek. I was a Dallas resident for 32 years until just a few months ago. I represent Citizens Matter, a grassroots organization. Our city leaders have stated that we must remove everything Confederate to avoid an outbreak of violence like that in Charlottesville, and that removal of statues is going to bring us racial harmony. That shows an incredible ignorance about the raging cultural revolution by neo-Marxists to destroy the history and how it's being done. and they're destroying our culture and our constitutional government. Once that's done, this nation will fall to socialism. Is that okay with you? Surely someone on this council has researched the group behind the Charlottesville event. Anybody? Antifa, a left-wing group of anarchists, spearheaded the demand for Charlottesville to remove Confederate evidence, just as they have in other cities. Check out their website. It's goingdown.org. Pitting people against each other, using victimization and removing historical monuments is key to their success to change our culture. Nearly 80% of the Dallas people have told you not to change our history, not to change our culture, yet you ignored them. I have to ask you why. Either our city leaders are unaware of the purpose behind monument snatching, or you're just trying to appease these neo-Marxists who are destroying us city by city. Check it out across the nation, all through the South. They even took down a Stephen Foster monument a few days ago. Being a classically trained pianist, I can tell you, this man was a composer, not a Confederate general. By caving to the demands of these Marxists, you are participating in the destruction of our culture. We want the Lee statue back, and we want you to stop any further removals of any changing of names or removing of any statues. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill Hutchinson, Council. Jerusha Royal. Jerusha Royal.
Good evening, Mayor Rawlings. In light of the McGraw-Hill book company calling slaves workers, this removal of history is dangerous, I feel. I'm pleading for the continuing support of displays of our heritage. I am called a descendant of African-American free slaves, and I have no knowledge of my history before slavery. I'm proud of my history and my heritage, and this is very inclusive of the Confederate South. Erasing or hiding this history is erasing or hiding a part of me. Just as I learned from each lesson of life, regardless of the outcome, we have to learn much from the Confederacy. We have learned how to stand for what we believe in. We have also learned how to lose graciously and progress towards a common goal, even when we do not agree. I ask you to remain Texan and do not trend with the rest of the U.S., but instead be the trendsetter. We are Texas proud of our heritage, just as we are Texas proud of our current blended communities. Removing these statues will not remove bigotry and hate. Removing these statues will instead cause bigotry and hate. Bigotry and hate can only be caused by a willing host, not memorabilia. Those statues are like scars. They are ugly, and they evoke memories. But just as a scar, they represent trauma, pain, but most of all, they represent the healing of us. We have far more issues plaguing our African-American society, including the fact that slavery was never even completely written out of our Constitution. And I feel like this is not the way to go about progressing our people.
Thank you.
Your remaining speakers will be Clint Wolverton, Bobby Clarkston, Terry Holsey, Joan Swilwell, Robert Capps, Thomas Vastine, and Julio Acosta. Clint Wolverton.
I'm Clint Wolverton, 4356 Westside Drive in Dallas. Let's all be honest with each other here. How many of us have driven down a street, saw the name, and thought about racism? Not me. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but this is just another example of a certain Marxist group in this city and country that continue to create racism and division. Ironically, we're debating the Civil War. I think it would be a good idea, instead of wasting money on removing statues and doing all this other stuff, that we should maybe use that money to put things next to the statue that's maybe talk about racism, can really educate people. Because as a white man in America, the only time I've ever been able to go back and feel what somebody might have gone through was when I see a statue. And when I read it and read the history, it takes me in that place. Or when I watch a history movie, it takes me there. And it's horrible. It's horrible what people went through. But to erase it is ridiculous. And I think everybody here knows that. And I'm just going to leave it at this. It'd be great if we could meet down there. I'll come down there. White, black people, let's spend that money to go make a difference in the community, not remove statues. And I'll just leave it with this. It was a very different time back then, but here's a little something about Robert E. Lee that a lot of people might not know. It's kind of ironic they tore the statue down of a man who stood against the political correctness of his time and knelt next to a black man taking communion in a white church when no one else would. You know why? Because he didn't give in to the hysteria. He was a leader with principles. This was a man who did not think of himself too highly to teach slave children Sunday school lessons. How many of you teach the lowest and neediest people in the city?
Thank you. Mr. Wilson? Excuse me, sir? I just want to, for the record, clear, what city you live in?
Dallas, Highland Park.
You're in Highland Park?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bobby Clarkston?
Bobby Clarkston, 2325 Shandell Drive in Irving, Texas. Good evening, Mayor, Council, and fellow citizens. For 55 years, I've lived in Dallas County. I grew up in Lee Park and have enjoyed all the rich history and culture that is entrenched in our city parks, buildings, and monuments. As I think of our history in Dallas, I reflect on past leaders of our community. First, I remember Annette Strauss, who inherited a city in shambles economically, who had a vision of culture and building a refuge for an increasing number of families living on the streets of Dallas. Second, I recall Ron Kirk, who managed to keep a dysfunctional city council and school board together and had the vision for the Trinity River Project that we're reaping the benefits of today. What will this council be remembered for? I fear it will be to cowering under the political correctness of the East and West Coast that has invaded our southern culture in Dallas. The Robert E. Lee statue is one thing, and now the conversation has moved to Pioneer Park, and that's where it becomes personal to me. You see, my wife is a descendant of Joseph B. McDermott, who is buried in Pioneer Park under a Confederate headstone. I am now beginning to understand the American Indians, who are continually forced off their sacred burial grounds due to eminent domain for highway and oil production projects. Our history is our history, and we cannot change it. And by trying to erase it, we will only ensure that history will be repeated. Where do we stop? 3 or 4 years from now, will the Vietnamese become offended at our Vietnam memorials and demand we tear down the walls? Or how about the people in France deciding that Flanders Field is prime real estate and our occupation of that land for our dead be revoked? Where does it stop? I need the monuments and statues depicting our history, all of it. The history I'm proud of and the history I'm ashamed of. In order to remember the accomplishments and mistakes. As a community, we need so many things involving first responders, hospitals, schools, and basic infrastructure. Mayor, council members, and my fellow citizens, how will you be remembered?
Thank you.
Terry Holtby.
My name is Terry Holtby. I'm from Arlington. Interlocking neighborhood. Thank you for allowing a non-citizen to speak tonight. I come here, I think, our hope is an act of mercy for Dallas taxpayers. Sticking to the agenda set by Mr. Mayor speak of the September 29th recommendations of your task force. Recommendation number one addressed what should be done for the monuments. I fear I may have been upstaged by Alden Nullis and Linda Johnston for providing alternative locations for the monuments. But nevertheless, I hold in my hand an offer to accept freely by this national respected organization any monuments that you care to donate it to them. This is the
Beauvoir Jefferson Davis home in Mississippi. I would like also to address a topic that where I may have been upstaged also by your distinguished visitor, William Murchison, regarding stewardship. And many people have mentioned the polls that show that an overwhelming majority of Dallasites, in fact, nationally, do not want either renaming or monument removal. So I think as stewards, you should attend to the will of the people in that regard. Also, too, as good stewards, you are fiscally responsible for the affairs of this city. And in face of the financial straits facing the city of Dallas, yet you choose to spend a minimum of $450,000 for what is, I think, an unnecessary renaming and removal. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Joan Swalwell. Joan Swalwell. Not present. Robert Capps.
Mr. Mayor, City Council people, thanks for having me here. I'm Robert Capps. I live in University Park. I'm disappointed to be missing who I thought was going to be the youngest council person in the United States. She was sitting right there when I came in. I guess she's left the room, right? I wanted to say that if the city council was committed to promote and preserve cultural diversity, then why eliminate everything that has to do with the Confederacy? It's part of our cultural diversity, in my opinion. And armed with the knowledge of our history, even my liberal friends revered Robert E. Lee as a gentleman, scholar, Christian. Why choose to erase history rather than learn from it? One suggestion, maybe Lamar Street should be renamed. Mirabeau Lamar led the genocidal attack of American Indians in Texas to their death. But, in closing, regarding our city council, I've learned to set my expectations low and hope I'm not disappointed. Thank you again for having me.
Thank you.
Thomas Fastine.
Hi, my name is Thomas Fastine. I was born and raised here in Dallas, Texas. I went to school here, I went to college here, and I consider it my home. I currently live in Addison, Texas on Beltway Drive. My parents live in Dallas. Basically, a lot of the things that have been said here I agree with. One person mentioned that the monuments are not a way to teach history, that we should do that in books. Well, we've been teaching history with monuments for thousands of years. And you can teach history to young people who can't quite read yet with a monument. And comparing someone like Robert E. Lee to Hitler is offensive to me, you know. So a lot of people can get offended, but I'll get over it, you know. So this is just part of life. All nations have difficult parts of their past, and erasing it does not make it go away. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julio Acosta. Julio Acosta.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Julio Acosta. I live at 1644 Blackstone Drive, Carrollton, Texas, and I'm a volunteer with Faith in Texas. We're a multi-ethnic, multi-faith organization that works with Christians, Muslims, and Jews on racial and social justice issues. First and foremost, I wanted to thank you all for having this space. And I just wanted to say that What I see and what I hear is really an education problem. It's really a lack of people really realizing what it is that the Civil War was about. In Texas Public High School, which I went to for 4 years, they taught me that it was about state rights. As I learned more, I learned that they were fighting for the state right to own slaves. If people don't want to accept that, I can't force them to. However, I do believe that education is the key. I was looking through the mayor's task force recommendations, and I really approve them all, especially the 11, 12, and 13 recommendations that are listed here. I do want to say that it's interesting to note the backgrounds of the people that are for keeping the monuments. I know that as a Latino, I would not support leaving an American monument with an African-American monument with a Latino monument. I wouldn't support that as a Latino. I'm okay not having that up. I'm okay having the monuments as a museum. That would be probably the greatest option. One thing that I do want to remind everybody is that even when our founding fathers were writing the Constitution, there was a difference between the American dream and the American reality. Even when the Civil Rights Act was being discussed, many people did not support it. Now, how many people would have supported it? So I say this to everybody that clapped for keeping the monument. It is possible that you would have clapped to not pass the Civil Rights Act. It is possible that we have to educate ourselves better. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes your speakers.
Thank you very much. You guys were excellent. Now, Mr. Salazar, Jesse, would you show your hand right there? If you came here and you haven't, and you want to speak, but you weren't able to speak, we're going to do this again Wednesday. We're going to, as I said, we're having a briefing, and we sign people up for public speaking. And you can come down and sign up with Mr. Salazar, and we will listen to you on Wednesday as well. You guys were great. This is, I learned a lot, and I'm proud of Dallas, Texas. Thank you very much.
Hey, Kingston, thanks for showing up to work tonight.